So people keep themselves busy because of these attractions. His conclusion is very simple. Krishna is God, we're His servant. Right? We're supposed to engage ourselves in Krishna's service and come to our natural position of reawakening our love for Him. That's it. So that means, you know, being the enjoyer, being the controller is over. So who wants that? Right? We even find as a devotee it's very difficult to give these things up. We want to enjoy so many things, gross or subtle. Means so therefore that's the difficulty. Therefore we have to. This comes, oh, what's this? Why do they say that? Who are they to say that? You know, then knock it the other way. Then someone else, what? They said that? No, then back this way, then over this way. And you see it's the same thing. The person who has committed the offense, how is it corrected? By the same offensive behavior. Just in the name of justice. On the other side. And then it goes the other way. Oh, you're so overbearing and all that. Then we'll do it in this way. But then, how do they deal so kindly, so nice? So, you're supposed to be kind and broad. Do they deal like that with the people who are harsh? No, but very harsh with them. You nonsense guy. Right? So, it's just talk. It's just something that catches the mind. That's all. Mind is going in one way, and then someone throws it in the other direction and go, oh, and just go off. But if we want conclusion, it's very simple. You just have to surrender to Krishna. We just have to think of Krishna, that's all. Total absorption, that's all. So that means body, mind, words are engaged in the Lord's service. So we see the body, then of this, Krishna, Prabhupada's pointed out, body you don't have to worry about. You just have to worry about mind and intelligence. Right? If you get the mind and intelligence, then the body will come along with it. Right? You don't have to worry about it separately. So focusing on that, then that means we have to take it that through the intelligence we understand. We've done all these material activities, and by doing these activities, we have not been happy. And you can logically see, Gita points out how the modes work, how they'll make us unhappy, how we can't be happy here. Everything, even you find something that kind of works, still is temporary. You know, we're not looking for being happy for a short time, even for one lifetime. We want it eternal. So it's not enough. It's not good enough. No material solution is good enough. Even you become Brahma, still it's not good enough. It's for him. It's only 100 years. Us, it's a long time. But him, it's 100 years. The experience is 100 years. So there's no solution in this material world. So by intelligence, we can understand this. Then that mind needs to just accept that and reject that endeavor. And our endeavor now will be for Krishna. To try to attain Krishna, try to absorb ourselves in Krishna. Then mind has so many attachments that is there. Then we look at those attachments, so how to engage them. Right? Some of them are very simple or useless, they have to be dropped. Like that. Or their engagement principle remain the same, the detail may have to change, right? Like that. That we may have to adjust. Like certain things is just, there's no good direct application of, like this. So then, how do you say, like we like to do, you know, skydiving or something, or mountain climbing. So it is exciting, it's adventure. So we may not be able to engage that directly in Krishna's service, unless that's your occupational duty. You teach people how to skydive or how to climb mountains, and you make some money and you maintain your family. Okay, that way then you engage it. But the thing itself may be difficult, but the principle of it, why is it exciting? Krishna says in the Gita, adventure. He's adventure. So then, do something adventurous for Krishna. Go somewhere, go to the Congo, open a temple, do something exciting, you know. Go find some, you know, head-hunting pygmies somewhere and try to make them devotees. You can't get more exciting than that. You know? So you don't know whether, you know, they're going to become devotees or you're going to become dinner. So it's, you know, it's plenty to keep the mind busy. So that's the way. Just find something that is exciting in that way, adventurous, and do that for Krishna. So the principle can be engaged. So we have to see the mind, see what is there, and then engage it. But we can't be attached to it. We just have to look at it and see it's like that. That's all. You know, it's not some. The mind is the mind, intelligence is intelligence, body is body. And then by that detached looking at it, we see what's there. We see if the detail can be applied. What we particularly like doing this, great, then do it. But if we need to adjust it, then okay, we have to go back to the principle. We like to cook. Okay, we've been a cook before. But we cook all kinds of nonsense. So that doesn't mean that I can be attached to cooking nonsense. No, I can be attached to cooking, but not to cooking nonsense. So now I have to change what I cook. Right? Like that. So then the principle stays. Then we see, okay, I have all these things, and so I can either, first best option is sit down and think of Krishna 24 hours a day. That's total absorption. That's best. Easy. Right? Direct. But if I can't do that, then I see what are the things that my mind is attached to, and see how to engage them according to Krishna's direction in His service. Because I'm doing that for Krishna, that's total absorption. I may not be thinking directly of the form of Krishna, or His pastimes, or His qualities, but I'm thinking of His service and His instruction. He's instructed to do this. Okay, you want to dress like this. You want to take a bath, bit like this. You know, oh, you like to do something with your hair, right? Okay, so Krishna tells you what to do with your hair. You shave it off. You know, like that. So then you have something to do for Krishna. Right? Then that whole thing is engaged in Krishna's service. Okay? So like that. One finds these different aspects and does it. So therefore intelligence is being used. This way the mind can be controlled. Intelligently we look at it, and then intelligently we see what's the best way to apply it, depending upon how much, what the mind is attached to and how much it's attached to it. Like that. And then we make a plan and we work. But we should understand anything short of prema is not good enough. Right? So we shouldn't think, okay, I got it all worked out, so it's great. So I'm well situated, I'm fine. No, that's the beginning. That's good. That's glorious. But you have to keep going. Right? Like that. You want to go up a set of stairs to enter a building. Then it starts with stepping on the first step. But when you step on the first step, then you don't turn around and tell everybody, hey, I'm on the first step. You guys aren't even on that. What do you think? Like that. No. You have to just keep going. And you can't say, well, I'm on the first step and that guy's on the tenth step. You know, why, you know, I should respect him, and, you know, we're all the same anyway and all these things. And so therefore, why all this big this, that? So, you know, I mean, it's all, I'm okay. You know, and adjust everything and try to, you know, bring everything there. And, you know, so why he's on the tenth step? You know, send some other, bring him back here. You know, why we should all be... No, it's every... We recognize everybody's moving at their own speed, their own space. And even the person's on the 10th step. But still, it's not the top step. And even if it's the top step, unless you go through the door, you're not inside. So even you get to liberation, still, if you don't develop prema, you don't go inside. So once you've developed prema, then you can say you've then accomplished something. Otherwise, before that, it's advised to be humble. That's the thing. Be humble. And generally, we see someone who's on the platform of prema, they're also humble. Because they know that in front of them are so many. Like that. Dasanu, 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 like that. So then there's no problem. So the humility, that is the key to get through the door. Right? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, this is our Siddha Pranali. Right? Everyone's was thinking, wow, what is this? I have to get my Siddha Pranali. Right? I have to know what my spiritual form is. But the Siddha Pranali is this, humility, tolerance, respect for others, not wanting respect for yourself. Otherwise, you don't have that. You don't have Siddha Pranali. It's as simple as that. It's just like someone wants to drive, you know? So their whole focus is on getting a car. No, the focus should be on learning how to drive and be qualified to drive, that you get a license. Then the car has a meaning. Otherwise, you get a car. Your father can give you 20 cars. You can't drive one of them. Until you're qualified to drive, you can't drive any of them. So what's the use? So Siddha Pranala is useless unless Trinadapi Sinichana, Tarori Vasa Ishnana, Amani Namana Dena, Kirtaniya Siddhati. Without that, there is no meaning to Siddha Pranala. It doesn't mean anything. So what, you know who you are? So what? So what, you can say, yes, this is my car. Yeah, so we can do something with your car? No, I can't do anything with the car. Like that, if I get inside, I'll be arrested. Right? Oh, so great, nice car, yeah, good, great, job. You know, how far is it down to the where we want to go? Oh, it'll take about 15 minutes, okay. So the car is useless. So the Siddha Pranala is useless unless one has attained this. And it has no meaning. The gopis that didn't go to the rasa dance had Siddha Pranala. They were in their surup. They weren't in someone else's surup. They were in their surup. But it didn't get them to the rasa dance. So they didn't have enough attachment to Krishna. They were too attached to, you know, the house and the babies and the, you know, the cooking and the this and that and so many things. So how are they going to get? So that's not the focus. Many people nowadays, they make it the focus. But it's not the focus. The focus is how to operate it. Right? Then when you can operate it, naturally you get. Prabhupada said, first deserve, then desire. Then it works very nicely. If you deserve it, you'll get it. Why you won't get it? Is there some, Krishna said, only some people will get prema? No, everybody will get. Everybody will go. Every living entity will go back to Godhead. Just a matter of time. So that's not the focus. The focus is then on how to become qualified for that. What makes that work? Just because you have a spiritual form, the gopis didn't have enough of the positive to get there. And they still had negative. They still had attachments. So because those attachments weren't there, they didn't think of Krishna. Nowadays, we discussed this before. You just think of Krishna, read all nice things about Krishna, and that's enough. Right? They'll quote the shloka from the Bhagavatam. You read this rasa dance and all lust will go. No, it says it will reduce lust. It doesn't say all will go. You have to want it to go for it to go. It's so pure, it will remove. But if you're holding on, how much you can remove? That's the point. It's just so easy. Oh, you just read this and that's it. Read this and then afterwards, you know, you go home to your family and then go out and sell a few, you know, Rajasthani paintings and then, you know, go off here and there. And no. If you're going to read that, only read that. Fine. Sit down. 24 hours, you chant, you read that. Don't worry about your maintenance, your eating, your sleeping, nothing. Then yes, then you can say, maybe it'll work. But is that what's happening? No. We're reading for a few hours and going off and doing all our regular normal stuff. And so is the regular normal stuff engaged in Krishna's service? Is it done according to Krishna's direction? Is every last breath and movement, right? How you clean your backside in the toilet, is it according to how Krishna says? Otherwise, that moment, you're not Krishna conscious. Are you passing urine how Krishna says? Are you sleeping how Krishna says? Are you eating how Krishna says? Right? You clean yourself, wash your hands and all that, like Krishna says, or put your tilak like Krishna says? Simple things. Right? But if not, then where's total absorption? Total means total. 24 hours. So if you're not thinking of Krishna on your own naturally, then you need help. What does that help? Engaging all of your activities according to Krishna's direction and Krishna's service. You know? It's a reality. It's a reality. Is that you either are thinking naturally of Krishna because your heart is so pure, or if there's impurity, you have to take each one of those impurities and directly engage it in Krishna's service according to Krishna's direction. Otherwise, if you engage it not according to Krishna's direction, how do we call it service? We're not thinking of Krishna, we're doing it how we like, and we're going to say it's service. Just because I'm a devotee and I chant. Okay, that's nice. We're a devotee, we chant. Now what about these things where we're not chanting and we're not devotional? How those are engaged? Right? How will those, so those have to be taken. And then each one taken. And then how does Krishna do this? Right? How do you serve prasad? Are we serving? Okay, just Krishna says, just get everything on everybody's plate and then sit down and eat. Right? That's how you serve prasad. Right? Right? We see that in Chaitanya Leela. Right? Lord Chaitanya served a few people and then quickly sat down to eat. Subh Damodara and all the other, they quickly served once around and then, you know, came, served it once and then came back 2 seconds later and said, you want more? And because the person already had, naturally he's not going to say, yes, I want more. So then you go, nobody wants any more, so I can sit down. Right? So this is engaged. So then that means the whole time we're serving prasad, we're not engaged properly in Krishna's service. Right? It's according to our idea. But are we trying to please ourselves or Krishna? Right? Krishna says in Gita, if you please yourself, your own mind is satisfied with whatever it dreams up, then you'll come to me. Right? That's what Krishna says. No, he says you think of me and do things how I want it done. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru. So it's according to Krishna. Think of Krishna, do Krishna's activities, how Krishna says. Then it works. Then it's good. So that means everything has to be seen. How does Krishna want it done? And if it is difficult, due to attachments you can't, then at least you respect that and try to adjust your life so that you'll get that one day. At least respect the activity, respect those who are doing the activity, then we'll come to that activity. Right? That's the process. That is the process. Someone who is able to engage, they have to be respected. Otherwise, if we just say, oh, they're fanatic, you'll never get there in a million lifetimes. Right? You can only develop something you appreciate. Right? You see, anybody who's good at something appreciated others who were good at that thing. They didn't not appreciate those people. So therefore, if we disrespect others, we will never develop any good qualities. We can't. It's not possible. Good qualities are developed by appreciating them. So if we want to get out of the material world, then purity, detachment, you know, control of the senses, service attitude, all these different nice things, we have to appreciate. We have to see them. We have to cultivate them. Then we'll get them. And if we can't, we're so conditioned, we can't. That's okay. As long as we appreciate them. That appreciation is something positive. That will bring us there. That will bring us. But we have to appreciate. Therefore, this idea, the mental idea is that, oh, it doesn't matter. But that's not what Krishna says. That's not what Prabhupada says. It doesn't matter where you're situated, as long as you're humble and trying to engage in Krishna's service and you appreciate other devotees. But if it's like, I'm okay, don't bother, this and that, you know, then we won't get anywhere. We can't get anywhere because we're not appreciating actually the process for getting out. So then, whatever situation we're at, whether we can follow or not follow, if we appreciate it, then that will be beneficial for us. Then we can advance. And in this way, slowly, slowly, we can see more and more. Krishna will give us more and more intelligence to see how to engage more and more of our life in Krishna's service. Right? The whole idea is everything we do should be engaged in Krishna's service. Every activity, every desire we have, every interest, it's all there. Right? all desires are able to be fulfilled in Krishna's service. But it's just a matter of how it's being done. Right? Demigods means emphasis is on fulfilling their material desires. But they're doing it according to Krishna's direction. So therefore, they as devotees are given the positions to manage the universe. Because they're devotees, but they have material desires. So they like material desire means you want things to go well. So then part of make things going well for yourself are seeing that things go well for others. Right? Like Grihastha, he wants to enjoy himself, but he also must give in charity, feed others, take care of dependents. Like this. So he can't just on his own enjoy. That is selfish. No one will consider it good. So the more one is enjoying, the more one has to take care of others. Right? Someone who makes so much money like that, then they have so many dependents in their business or in whatever it is. The bigger the position, the more the dependents. Lord Brahma, it's the whole universe. The Prajapatis, then it's a certain group of most of the universe, you know, depending upon what living entities are in your line. Right? Then you come down, the Manus, then, okay, mankind. You know, then the king, who's in his kingdom. Right? Then the community leaders, then who's in their community. Then the family heads, then like this, it just keeps going. But there's always so much. So the bigger the enjoyment, bigger the position, the more the dependence. So then one has to take care. So like that, here's devotees who have maintain a good, a controlled but vibrant or something, enjoying mood. Putting it in some nice euphemism, huh? Yeah, that means that they're able to follow Krishna's direction. They're able to control, but their desire to enjoy is very much alive. It's not dead. So then naturally they're given these positions. You know, sometimes we think, they're just karma. That's why the demigods are never to be disrespected. They're devotees. But they're kanistas, right? As pointed out in this Vritrasura Lila. So here you have Vritrasura, who is a pure devotee, and then Indra, who is kanista. And so in this we see the demons come, Vritrasura comes up to the heavenly planet. Right, he's an asura, it's his business to disturb the demigods. He must, otherwise he wouldn't be an asura. Right? So even though he's a pure devotee, it's his occupation to disturb the demigods. Right? So he accepts his occupation and performs it without attachment. So he comes there, challenges the demigods, and starts a rumble like that. So then it all starts, and the demigods come out immediately, right? Because they think, I am powerful, I am great, I am strong, I am the lord of the directions, I'm this, I'm that. Right? They didn't think, oh Krishna, here come the demons, what should we do? They didn't surrender immediately. The definition of demigod is not one who surrenders immediately or one who's always surrendered. No, it's one who surrenders when there's a problem. Right? That's the definition. When there's a problem, then you think of God. If there's no problem, I'll take care of it myself. That pride is there. Right? Demon means when there's a problem, still you think, I'll solve the problem. I got good intelligence. I don't need any help. That's the demon. The devotee, the demigod, means that they recognize, now it's too much for me, then only God can help. So they go, they throw all their weapons, Vritrasura opens his mouth, swallows them all, and yawns. Like, what next? You know, that was pretty boring. You got anything else happening around here? So then the demigods, then they understood, this guy's a problem. So then they surrender to Krishna. Then Krishna made some arrangement that told Indra you get the bones of Dadichi. Right? That's very interesting. He has to go to Dadichi. Dadichi came to Indra for something. Indra wouldn't even give him the time of day. He insulted him. Right? Small thing. Now Indra is going to have to go to Dadichi and ask him for his body. Right? Indra wouldn't give him a small thing. And now Indra has to go and ask for the ultimate thing, right, in the material world, is the body. And Dadichi will just go, oh, fine, and just leave the body in a moment. So that's the number one, you know, how you say, teaching or, you know, chastisement to Indra. Subtle, but pretty good. Then he's to take this, make it into the weapon, his bones he makes into the Vajra. Then the Vajra, you take the Vajra, you can kill Vritrasura. So then, naturally, Indra comes in front of Vritrasura and then uses his club. He doesn't use the Vajra. Why? Because he has faith in his club. He's killed so many demons with his club. He's ex with his club. Therefore, I'll do it with the club. Right? No faith in the Lord's direction. No faith in the Lord's order. Therefore, Kanista. Then he throws the club. Vritrasura catches it in his left hand, not right hand. Right hand means, okay, here's a good foe, and it's a good fight, it's a good challenge. You catch it in the left hand, like Krishna lifted Govardhan here with the left finger. And just showing that this is so small, it's not even worth dealing with. I just catch it with my left hand. And then he takes it, and then whacks his elephant with it, and knocks him back, you know, so far. No one's ever... Airavata is the biggest elephant in the universe. No one ever whacks Airavata and makes him go flying. And so he's done that. And then in that, Indra is so shocked because there's been no one as king of the universe that he uses his club on that hasn't been defeated. He's so shocked. Not so much that Airavata has been hit and he's been flying back, is that he, the lord of the universe, could not defeat Vritrasura with his club. That's the shock. His ego is devastated. Right? Next lesson for Indra. Then he's sitting there on his elephant, doesn't know what to do. He's dropped the thunderbolt. And Vritrasura is saying, hey, I thought you were a devotee of the Lord. The Lord said, use this thunderbolt, it will kill me. So it's your business to serve the Lord by using this. Stop being a nonsense. Get up, fight. You're supposed to fight on behalf of the Lord, right? You're the Lord of the universe. Right? You're the king. You're supposed to defend the Lord's universe. It's the Lord's universe, not your universe. And the Lord said to do it like this. So come on, let's get going. Let's see some surrender here. Right? Then only then he realizes, yes. Then he picks up the thunderbolt and then he kills Vritrasura. So we see Vritrasura, he's doing his duty and he's preaching to Indra, you should do yours. Otherwise, what's the use? You're supposed to be a devotee, you're not doing. You know, you as the king of the universe, you don't follow the Lord's direction, and who else in the universe is going to follow? So therefore, he must follow. So like this, we can see, is that they are devotees. No demigod is a non-devotee. You can't get a position of a demigod by not being a devotee. Right? But, for them, they put material life first, Krishna second. Right? Sound familiar? Right? So then, that is the position. Krishna said, if one falls away from devotional service without much advancement, he goes to heavenly planets. Right? Now, that's just to be just one of the people, one of the citizens of the heavenly planets. To get a position means you have to be quite fixed. Not fixed in advanced devotional service, but steady in devotional service. But full of material desire. Then, heavenly planets is the place, right? You want a house? Come on, the houses around here, what's so nice about them, right? There they got good houses, right? You want wealth? What kind? How much wealth you have here? There they got good wealth. You want a car? Right here. The swan plane's there. You think where you want to go, it goes there. These ones, you have to drive them, you know? Roads, so many traffic, this, that, jams. You know? There. So much nice things. You want to look beautiful? Like that. Here, no one can look beautiful, right? There, they look beautiful. Right? And even there, they're not considered that beautiful. Right? So if these desires are lurking in the heart, then that's the place to fulfill them. Not here. Right? You want position? Right, and what's better than being an Indra or a Varuna or Agni or Vayu or I mean, this is something, right? Vayu. You move out of a place, there's no air, nothing happens there, right? Fire is there, goes out, people are in there, they die. I mean, it's like pretty powerful, right? Fire is everywhere. Without fire, nothing happens, right? All your nerves, everything is fire, right? You can't move with that. So without Agni, nothing happens. So this is powerful. So that's the place to get it. But we see still Kanista. Why Kanista? Because the desires are in the heart and they're attached to them. And they don't want to let them go. Right? But they're devotees. Therefore, Krishna is pleased with them. He's pleased with them. But he's more pleased with persons like Prahlad Maharaj, who's not attached to these things. Therefore, the demigods are afraid to go before the Lord. Right? He's in an angry mood. Maybe he'll take something away from them. Right? He'll be upset with them and say, okay, you can't be Indra anymore, or take away their chariot, or take away their sword. They got all of it, that's right. Shukterya meva nigama pratitaistuvanti. Right? The demigods are going, offering prayers and everything to get conveyances, their position, their ornaments, their powers, everything. He may take them away, so therefore everyone's standing back. He's very angry, he may do something. He killed this demon, he may kill us. Prahlad's not afraid. Because he has nothing, he has nothing material to lose. Because there's nothing material he wants. So therefore he's more dear. Demigods are his associates. But still, the pure devotees are more dear. Okay. So therefore, this total absorption of the mind, then we have to see. We have to, in the beginning, by our intelligence, see what things are keeping me from going to Krishna. And then see that everything is engaged. Those things are useless, drop. And those things that can be engaged, engaged. And then what will bring me to Krishna, right? One gets rid of things that keep me from going to Krishna. The other is what draws me to Krishna. Okay, so my chanting and association of devotees, hearing Bhagavatam, so, and worshipping the deity, living in, these draw me to Krishna. Right? Those are mukya. Those are eternal. Everything else is naimittik. Or, how you say, yeah, naimittik. It's one way of putting it. Or gona. They're temporary. Mukya means it's eternal. It will give you the liberation. Gona means it is secondary. It helps. So then we see what is. Engage in these, and that will bring us to Krishna, and the gona will keep us from going away from Krishna. Then, we with our intelligence persist in that. And then with time, as we become purified, then we'll actually find attraction in hearing about Krishna. Otherwise, we hear about Krishna. We've heard Krishna books so many times. You know, we're not rolling on the ground in ecstasy. So, that's because heart is not clean. It's not because, oh, it's a lower level. No, it doesn't matter. Gopis just saw Krishna. They didn't see him in the rasa dance, right? They saw him outside the rasa dance. And the rasa dance had it happen many, 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 many years later. They just saw him. He just walked by, right? He just eats prasad at Mother Jashoda's house. You know, he just takes the cows out to the field, right? He just plays on his flute. That's what's made them in love with him. Then those persons go to the rasa dance. Right? So it's anything about Krishna can attract you to Krishna. And anything about Krishna can attract you to him in whatever rasa you're interested in. It's not only if you go inside the rasa dance, inside that, beyond that, completely this, you know, then maybe you'll get something. Yes, I had some taste there for 5 minutes. Okay. That's expected, right? Okay, someone is so dead, okay, we inject them with 5 million volts, and then they get the reaction of, you know, 1.2 volts. Then they go, see, something happened. No, but you should get the reaction of 5 million volts, right? For the reaction of 1.2 volts, you only need 1.2 volt battery. You don't need a 5 million volt. That's the whole point. Is that attraction to Krishna comes in the simplest things. That's how the residents of Vrindavan are attracted. Just something simple. That's all. Everything there is very simple. So attraction is very, depends on your desire and depends upon your purity. You may desire, but if the heart's so impure, you'll be thinking of so many other things. Where will be the time to think? Even Krishna gives you the opportunity. You're standing in front of the deities there, like that, and you're taking darshan, and after about, 10 seconds, then you think, oh, I got to go talk to this one, and I didn't do that. And you could stand there for longer. Why are you leaving? No, because you have attraction to other things. So even though opportunity is there, you could be there for 15 minutes. You won't be there. You'll be there 30 seconds. Because I have to do this, I have to do that. Or even you're standing there looking at the deities, and then you find you're thinking of this and thinking of that, and why those people are doing like that over there, the Charinamrita, and who's this funny guy here dancing, and why they're doing this, and why they're so loud over there. Right? You could just be there and taking darshan and not even noticing any of that. But the mind is not purified enough to be attracted. So, therefore, we have to work on both at once. We have to do the activities that will attract us to Krishna, that is proper for our position. And we have to do the activities that will detach us from the material world that are proper for our position. And then this balance with time, steadily, then it will bring us to the perfection of life. Any questions or comments on this?
Krishna gave us Vedic culture. Even eating is also one of the cultures. Krishna, he usually take pride. Here in ISKCON, now we are going for cakes and pizza and ice cream. This is not one of the culture Krishna gives. Baba said, we have to follow the Vedic culture. Krishna never did all these things. Only the Raja, Sakti, Sikh, Nay, why we are going in this culture?
Well, two things are there. Why we are attracted to things outside of, Krishna's culture. One is that these things we like, so therefore we like to eat them. We're used to them. They are, what we would call our own food, Yeah, it's just habit. The other thing is that it can be, it means it's mentioned that in the deity worship, one can offer something that's a very special thing in that local tradition or cuisine. You won't offer everything. See, because generally in any kind of cooking, you have different levels of cooking. You have just what you just kind of do in the house, just quick eat something, it's just family members, simple little things. And generally, and so that you never give to any guest. To a guest, then it's a little bit better. And then you have a festival, then you have your special preparations. So generally what you would consider your festival preparations, or at least what you would call for special guests, from those things, if there's something really extraordinary, that everybody feels is very good, then that thing could be offered. But that doesn't necessarily replace the whole cuisine, like that. So it's not wrong if those things are there. It's more, they're just a side thing or a snack or just something because you like it. This is called Aropya Bhakti. Means I like it, therefore I offer it to Krishna. So it's okay, but it's a beginning stage of devotional service. The next stage is, what does Krishna like? I offer that to Krishna. But that takes some surrender and some purity. The purity means you have to like it. No one can cook something they don't like that, unless they like the person they're cooking for. Like that. Sometimes you see old ladies, they can cook so many rich things, nice things, but they never eat them themselves because they don't want to eat. They're old, they don't like that. But they like the people they're cooking for, therefore they can cook them. Right? But generally, you'll find when they were young, they liked them. So if you don't like it, you can't cook it. So unless you like the Indian cooking and traditional Indian cooking, you can't cook it.
government opened for visiting to for the day this year. Because we have visa meeting
these things are snacks. Yeah, so snacks can go, you throw in 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that's snack time. You can also sometimes in the morning. But noontime, evening time, those things, you eat your own food. Right? Just like you'll see. Let's say you take Bengalis. Now they may like to eat some South Indian or some Gujarati at either that snack in the morning or snack in the afternoon, but you'll never see them eat a Gujarati or South Indian lunch. No, forget, they'd rather die. Right? Everywhere in India it's like that. And when it comes to the meals, they eat their own food. They don't eat someone else's food. And these other snacks for taste. It's only for taste. So it's not such a, those are the right places. Now if you saw that the Raj Bhog was, you know, pizza and, you know, pasta and, you know, lasagna, then that's a problem. But if it's at these two times, it's not such a problem. And I don't think they even use the morning breakfast. I think it's only the 4 o'clock. And these things are also something to discuss with Pujaris and that. This is not so much the form. But, you know, this is for general.
Here, we still have, you know, like we have many followers.
Yeah.
You know.
Indra has a lot of followers.
Name
is
fame, you know.
Yeah.
This is.
It's not good.
Another attachment, it's kind of attachment.
It's another attachment.
Still material, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's why.
It's not emotional service.
Yeah, but no, it's not. Same time, one has to be careful. One has can't be attached to followers. One can't be attached to no followers either. Just like one can't be attached to things, one can't be attached to no things. One has to just not be attached to material energy. So you see, some people, it's just like you take someone who, brahmachari, sannyas, like this, vanaprast, is comfortable for them. They wouldn't want to be grihasthas. Why? Because they're attached to no problems. Right? Mode of goodness means no problem. You don't want a problem. Even if it's Krishna's problem, you don't want it. That's the problem with the mode of goodness. That's why you have to go beyond goodness. Goodness is the first stage, but still it must be left. Because mode of goodness means there should be no problems. So even if it's a problem for Krishna, you don't want it. Right? So, you know, you have the temple and then there's so much problem, you know, electric problem or plumbing problem or security problem. You don't want the problem. So therefore, someone else should do it. Because one has an attachment to goodness, so he can't do it. So he may say, well, my position's better. No, when it comes to Krishna, it's not better. Krishna's problems are service. And they have to be taken care of by someone. And so they're doing that service, so that's good. It's the perfect service for them. As someone who can't do those, they should do another service that doesn't have those problems. But still, they're attached to no problems. So this is going to be a problem in their devotional service. Later, not now. In the beginning, they'll look more advanced. Because they will come closer towards liberation. But when you get to getting rid of desire for liberation and crossing into prema, that's where it'll be a problem. So the attachment to detachment also is a problem that must one day be given up. Just like attachment to knowledge. Knowledge is higher. But knowledge itself is still just around here. Prema is beyond knowledge. So if you're attached to knowledge, then you can't move on to prema. So it also becomes a problem. But it gets rid of passion and ignorance. Just like Krishna used Jaimini to get rid of these others. We'll also use. We'll even use Shankara to get rid of Jaimini. But once we've gotten rid of all of them, then we'll get rid of him. Right? It's just like a tool. You want to get something done. Like the cooking, right? When you cook a subject, you get a knife, you cut the cauliflower, and when the cutting's done, that's it. No more knife. It's not that when the preparation comes out onto the table, there's this big knife sticking out of it. you know, yes, I use this, and then, you know, you serve it in the pot, and then the spoon's sticking out also, and the grinder is also inside. All the things you use is all, yeah, I wanted you to see, you know, you should appreciate what went into it. No, it's used and gone. It's the same as that goodness is used to get rid of passion and ignorance, and then we get rid of goodness. But we don't get rid of goodness until liberation. So it's useful up to liberation. Passion, ignorance, then we try to get rid of sooner. But, you know, so the thing is therefore someone can take up devotional service who's not too detached or too detached. Only they can take up devotional service. Too attached means they're too much into karma, they can't take up devotional service. Too detached means they're too much into jnana, they can't take up devotional service. So the devotee is in the middle. So that's, if it is understood that these are all tools, then one can properly put it into place, and then it's not too much or too little. Right? Just like this point, okay, these non-Vedic preparations, they're not the best, but if we just say nothing can be used, then it's also not supported by the Shastra. And then how do you engage these aspects of these people? Right? So therefore it's there, but only that much. Not more than that. That's the point, is that the various material aspects are allowed, but in a regulated way and only so much. More than that, it's not allowed. Then it's improper. So like that, then one has to have that balance. Because that, like that, someone's in the manage, they're in the mode of passion, so they're the right one to manage. Right? Prabhupada said, how do you find the cook, temple cook? Someone says, you know, we don't have a cook. How do we figure out who should be the cook? Prabhupada just said, you take the lustiest person in the temple and make them the cook. Right? It's very easy. Good cook is going to make good cooking. Right? Because they want to taste good cooking. The person who couldn't care less about eating, don't make them the cook. You know? What they'll cook won't be edible. But the person who's really into eating, right? They'll make sure that whatever they cook is good. Everyone will have nice prasad. Right? So it's not bad. It's not bad. So they have that quality, engage it. The problem is people have so many qualities, and then we throw out everything. And then what are they supposed to do? Oh, this is nonsense, this is nonsense. In its impure state, yes. In its pure state, no. Then we can broaden the Sankirtan mission. This is the weakness in our temples, this is the weakness in our congregation and communities, is this province. It's not being approached that it's not the best, but it's good for that person. For this person, it's nonsense. And what this person is doing for that person is nonsense. Right? The person who is very attached to his money, this, that, for them to take sannyasa is nonsense. But for the sannyasi to give up that and do the other, that's nonsense. So everyone according to their position, right? Listen, everyone according to their need, everyone according to their nature. Karl Marx.
Some of the devotees are philosophically very good, but the senses are very weak.
Yes, because the two are connected. That's the point here. This is the secret. The intelligence and the senses are connected. That's why you see, generally, academics are the most gross, sensually sinful people. They're disgusting people, if you know the field. Academics, especially those who are in the hard sciences, disgusting people. They're so grossly sensual, not even refined sensual. The people who are in the art side of academics, they're generally a little more refined senses, still very active. Because intelligence and the senses are connected. They come from the same mode. They mean the same thing. One means the other. Right? And sense, how do you know how to use it unless intelligence is used? Right? Unless you put the right spice at the right time and cook it for the right amount of time, you're not going to get something that tastes good. So without intelligence, there is no sense gratification. And without the senses, what does the intelligence use? Right? It draws in information and then logically processes it and comes up with something. So the two have to have each other. So that's why someone who's very intelligent tends to be very sensual. It's a saying in the academic field. I can't remember it, but I heard it. That it's kind of like an irony that the most academically intelligent people are also the most sensual. It's a saying in the academic field. It's like that. If you've ever moved with them or lived with them or grown up with them or seen them, worked with them, you see it's like that. They're really bad people this way. Because they're on the platform of anumana, the senses. Like that. So the two go together. That's why the whole process of sadhana and all that is there. And we're not just an academic thing. The academics is there, but reading Bhagavatam, chanting, associating with devotees, serving the Dham, serving the deities. These are the activities of the pure goodness. So if they only engage in the activities of goodness in connection with knowledge, right, and that just means book knowledge, then they'll have a problem with the senses. But if they expand knowledge, right, we see the first principle of knowledge given by Krishna, I think there's 20 points, the first is humility. Right? Then approaching the spiritual master like this. So you find practically all of them are culture. That's real knowledge. That's real intelligence. So that's the full engagement of intelligence. Then they won't have problem with the senses. But if they just restrict it to academic, they'll have a lot of problem. Okay. That's why we are not, Prabhupada says, we're not interested in making scholars. Because scholars fall down. Scholars are not even fall down, they're already fallen. So we're interested in making Vaishnavas, who are scholarly. They know what the scholars know and beyond. Right? Scholars know detail, they don't know conclusion. So Vaishnavas can teach the conclusion. So devotees are actually greater scholars than the scholars. Like that. But that's not our goal is not scholarliness. Like that. But it's not that we reject it. It has to be balanced. Okay, so we'll end here. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainita Gaura Premanandi.